Right, well, I have what looks like about 2.5 minutes to finish, so I'm going to be very, very quick. We should have a PowerPoint somewhere. Okay, so we'll get that in a moment or two. If you have your Bibles with you, we are going to read just the passage that we'll finish our study on this, the life of Joseph. I don't think he had lice. The life of Joseph, which is Genesis 50. We've passed the death of Jacob, his father. Joseph and his brothers are now at the end of all of that story, and the question is, what happens next? What happens after the dad dies, who's perhaps been the one who's, you know, kind of guaranteed that the boys, the rest of the boys who had been so awful to Joseph when he was a younger boy, when dad's gone, does that mean that actually Joseph will revert to type and give the brothers what they deserve? So let's read together Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before them. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph got past the offense. Joseph got past the offense. He got past the hurt. He got past the fact that they threw him in a big cistern, that they sold him into slavery, that he'd get dumped in a crazy woman's house who accused him unfairly. He got past the offense of being dumped in the jail, of being abandoned by the cupbearer and the baker and being forgotten about. He got past the offense, and he no longer needed to have an apology. And that was because Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a man who did what he said, and he stuck to what he said he would do. He kept his word. And as we think about how we live, one of the things that Joseph teaches us is this, you know, that actually as we set our face and we say, this is who we are, this is what we're about, this is how we're going to live, that actually we stick to it. And so at the end of the story of Jacob, and as he dealt with his brothers, he was a man of integrity, but he was also a man that trusted in the plan that God had for him. He could see how the Lord could use even the brokenness that he was experiencing for great things. That's what he says in that verse, that probably the most famous verse from the story of Joseph, about how you meant for ill, God used for good, and see how he saved all of these people. Joseph was able to trust in God, even in the midst of difficulty, brokenness, and indeed real sort of persecution in many ways for the things that he didn't deserve to have done to him. And he had a forgiving spirit, and he demonstrated this not only to his family, which is what we just read, but he also demonstrated this to the Egyptians. And because I only have a few minutes, I'm just going to kind of focus just for a moment on that. And it's this thing of, as we, as people of God, learn how to be the kind of people that he wants us to be, What should the rest of the world who are not part of the church actually see? How should they look at the church and sort of say, see these Christians, how they love one another. See these Christians, how they treat one another better. See these Christians, how they get past the offense and the difficulty, and they actually deal with their issues. Because that's actually what we see here in this passage. We see a man who actually got past the offense. He got past it. And he chose not to actually go back. He chose not to go back and to dig it all back up again. He chose not to need an apology. He said, I'm past it. I'm past it. We're past it. Come on, let's move forward together. So what should set the church apart from the culture? What should make us different from the folks that are around about there? Well, the first thing is this, and this is so disappointing, but is absolutely so important that you understand it. There will always be issues and problems in church. There will always be people who will rail you the wrong way. There will always be people who will offend you and hurt you. And that's never going to change, because that's because we're all normal people who do things, and we don't necessarily do them on purpose, but we do them. And actually, what the scriptures teach us is that actually, if we can understand that, we will understand that actually what God wants is he wants them to become our grace growers. It's a great phrase, our grace growers, who actually teach us how to live more and more graciously. Now, you know, and you know the story about the kind of the how do you get pearls within mussels, not within mussels, you don't get them in mussels, in oysters. It's through the grit, isn't it? You know, it's that kind of irritant that's within the system. And that's a bit, you know, that's what we're talking about. That sometimes we are like that to one another. We are irritating, you know, we are hurtful, we do things. And in that sense the church won't be different in that way, because we are normal people. But this is the difference. It's what we do next. It's how we deal with it that really matters. And so what we learn is this, that it should be a place, the church should be a place where hurts are dealt with and that they don't fester, where we actually do deal with these things and deal with them well. That it should be a place where we choose to forgive, to release ourselves and others, because that's what happens. When we forgive others, not only do we, you know, you might look at it and you sort of say, but they don't deserve to be forgiven. But actually what that does is it just holds you tight in. And when we learn that actually that's not how it works, that when we choose to forgive, even when they don't deserve that, that actually it releases not only them, but it releases us, then we are able to move forward together. It should be a place where we choose to forgive, a place where we choose not to treat others according to their past, just as we would want to be treated. And again, that story that we see in Joseph, that's what we hear in the way that he dealt with these brothers. And that's what we hear again and again. We heard, you know, we heard the passage from 1 Corinthians 13 read at Gordy and Nicholas' wedding. You know, no keeping a record of wrongs. How many of us who are married recognize the importance of just recognizing that we can't keep digging up all that stuff. We can't keep throwing that at each other. We can't keep hitting each other over the head with these things which we have got wrong. But actually, we need to know what it is to let that go and to lay it down and to not talk about it anymore. It's also a place where we choose, as I say, not to cast up stuff. So that's what church culture should be about. That's why we should be distinctive and different. And I saw an example of that this week. I know you think this is funny, but I saw an example of that this week. It was just 2 days ago. This is an interview that Ali McCoy did, Super Ali. And just listen to what he says. He's talking about the fact that he's asked, you hear the question, but he's talking about what's happened this week, which is that Rangers have been cleared because of the tax case. But just listen to what he says. Did you hear what he said? He was asked the question, do you think you deserve an apology? And this is what he said. He said, I'm not looking for an apology. Then he said, I'm just looking to move on. Rather than looking back and pointing fingers, I'd rather look forward. We still have a long way to go, and I hope that that sad chapter is closed. Not often that you get to use quotes from Ali McCoist as an illustration of your sermon, but I couldn't resist it when I saw him. I actually listened to him, and I just thought, that is exactly the attitude and exactly what was going on with Joseph and his brothers. You know, that's exactly. Joseph and his brothers, I'm not looking for an apology. I'm just looking to move on. Rather than not look back and point fingers, I'd rather look forward. We've still got a long way to go, I hope that that sad chapter is closed. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing sort of set of things. And he said that a couple of, as I say, Ali said that a couple of days ago. Joseph said it several thousand years ago. But it's actually what we need to learn how to do. And that's the point that I'm trying to make today. What should set church apart from the culture? It should be a place where hurts are dealt with and don't fester. A place where we choose to forgive, releasing others and ourselves. A place where we choose not to treat others according to their past, just as we want to be treated. And a place where we choose not to cast up stuff. So as we finish the story of Joseph and we recognize that actually this was a truly man of integrity who trusted in God and even in the difficult times trusted him to work things out, we can learn so much about how we live together today. Not quite 2 minutes, but I managed. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for just for the ways that you have been teaching us through the life of Joseph. And Lord, we recognize that actually it is not easy to do what we're being asked to do today. It's not easy to let go of the hurts of the past, of the abuses of the past, of the things that have been done to us. Lord, we look at these folks that have done it to us and we say they do not deserve to be released, forgiven. And Lord, that's true. You know that's true. We know that's true. And yet, Lord God, for our health, for our well-being, for the sake of our community of faith, and indeed for the other folks, Lord, we ask that you would move in us to do a work of grace that would lift us from the place where we are bowed down and bent over by the things of the past, and instead, Lord God, that we can rise up to be men and women of integrity, who trust you even in the hard things, and who are willing to say, I let that go, I forgive, I do not need an apology, because that's past. Lord, would you do this, we pray. And would you take us, we pray, from this time and this place, and would you bless us as we go. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. Amen.